May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Here we are just 9 days, 9 nights from the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Christmas Eve. Today, on the third Sunday of Advent, Adventus, coming, we already know of the birth of Jesus. This is, in the church, the traditional Sunday, which we call the Sunday of Mary, or Mary's Sunday. The third candle lit is the pink candle, and the vestments and all of our linens are pink, signifying our honoring of the Mother of God. And we do already know of the birth of Jesus. We have heard proclaimed, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. This past week, I spent some time praying by that stained glass window, reflecting for a bit there. It is a beautiful window of the incarnation, of the nativity. And that nativity window, just in its artistic imagery, tells the whole story of God coming among us in the infant Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. I reflected upon whether or not God in Jesus Christ has been with us fully during these 3 weeks of Advent. What makes God Emmanuel? What makes God with you? Why does it seem God is with you more at some times than others, or more with someone else than with you? This is a question that we ponder on this Sunday. From an historical perspective, we know little of the personal lives of Mary and Joseph. We do know that Joseph was an older man, a carpenter, and he was intending to quietly divorce Mary because of the stigma of bearing a child, especially in those times, outside of wedlock, which was enormous in that culture. And yet the Lord appears to him in a dream to make things holy, to make things understandable. And Joseph accepted his role. Now, what we know of Mary is that she was the daughter of Anne and Joachim. And she was only 14 years of age. Imagine. 14 years of age at the time of Christ's birth. This 14-year-old girl, woman, would be the mother of God. Theotokos, as we say in the Greek, the bearer of God. Mary would conceive of Jesus while remaining a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit, portrayed in that window by the light coming down, the power of the Holy Spirit. And most powerfully, though, true for both Mary and Joseph, was their decision to submit to the will of God. Submit their lives to God's will. And it is here that we discover the key to the question: what makes Emmanuel, God with us, seem truer for some than it is for others? This past Friday evening, I had a 7 o'clock haircut appointment, and following that appointment, I decided I would head to Fayette Mall. It helps me get in the Christmas spirit. Traffic was not bad, actually. The mall was jam-packed. And I wandered through the mall, and I was in collar, so I sort of stuck out a little bit. I think I was the only priest I saw there that night. And as I was going through the mall, I came across the tackiest plastic Christ child I had ever seen. It was actually outside of the mall. And it stayed with me. I mean, some are not bad, but this one was really bad and looked nothing of what the infant Jesus would have looked like from an historical perspective. The image stayed with me for a while before I realized what disturbed me most. Most of all, was the truth to which that Jesus pointed. We are very good at molding the Christ child of Holy Scriptures into our own plastic Jesus. Into our own plastic Jesus. Now, that thought pattern was interrupted briefly as, if you've ever been, how many of you have been to Fayette Mall? Okay. You know when you walk down that mall, you get accosted by the people that have those vending things in the middle? The one that always accosts me is the one that sells the special cream from Israel and salt soaps. And the woman always says to me, I just have a question for a moment, just a question. And she saw me coming, and she recognized me and because of the collar. And I said to her, from a distance, I was like, no. She said, well, at least give me a hug. Now, Ellen was at 8 o'clock service, and I shared that I did give her a hug. So, a very, very careful hug. But right after that encounter, I went back to thinking about the plastic Jesus and how I have been guilty in my own life of molding Jesus into my own image, and perhaps you have as well. It's often a Christ that reflects something that's different from the gospel teachings of what Jesus taught about to be the life that he calls us to follow as the way. It was living a different morality than the one that, when we use that word morality, it has all kinds of layers on top of it, and it's a judgment. In a way that Jesus instead was talking about a morality in a way that the secular world rarely ever speaks of morality. The theologian Harvey Cox, in his book, When Jesus Came to Harvard, which came out just a few years ago, and I highly recommend this book, he writes the following. It is universally known as the Sermon on the Mount, and it is the longest segment of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. With few exceptions, even the most religiously illiterate of my students had at least heard of the Sermon on the Mount before we discussed it in class. Still, despite the students' great expectations, I sensed a certain disappointment in what they actually found. He writes, was I presenting it wrong? As the years passed, I came to see that what disappointed them were not the words of Jesus. What bothered students was that Jesus' words seemed so out of reach. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. God in Jesus, God Emmanuel, is with you when you struggle to live that moral life that God's Son proclaimed. This is a morality born of the incarnation of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And through the decision of Mary and Joseph to both say yes to God, these last days of Advent beg the question of you and me as to whether or not we are living those Beatitudes, that morality. And these are not easy questions to confront. What does Jesus have to say about war and peace? What does Jesus have to say about the sanctity of every human being? What does Jesus have to say about respecting the dignity of every human being? What does Jesus have to say about how we use the resources with which we are blessed? What does Jesus have to say about the outcast? What does Jesus say? And who does Jesus say we are called to love? Is your Jesus plastic? Is my Jesus plastic, molded to our individual thoughts and needs? Or is he this Christ, the one of whom the prophet had spoken, the one of whom John said, prepare the way, make his paths straight, because he is coming to give you new life? Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Strive to live this life. Strive to live it in such a way that God is with you. Christ is born in you. May Advent be the beginning of such a life for each of us. Amen.